Remember, David in the Psalms is always happy when they said, "Let us go into the house of the Lord." And that's where we're at this evening. Although I know that each and every one of us are the church, but this is where the church gathers. God has always called His people to gather together, no matter what's going on, what's going on in the society and what's going on in the culture. God's people have always gathered together in a central location. No matter whether it was in private or in hiding or anything like that, they always gathered together. And that's what we're doing here this evening. We're gathering together. Going to get some instruction from the Word of God. Going to be fed by the Word of God. We're going to be in 1 John chapter 5. 1 John chapter 5. Continuing our study here. We're going to look at verses 11 to 13. 1 John chapter 5, verses 11 to 13. Going to look at this evening the life that we have in Jesus Christ. John, as he says in these verses, that eternal life is only found in the Son. It's only found in Jesus Christ. And so John is summing up his statements from his letter that he has written to these Christians, these believers. And he's going to sum it up here in the last chapter of 1 John. And he's talking this evening about, or right now in these verses, about life in Christ. So let's go ahead and ask the Lord to bless the reading of His Word. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your blessings upon us. We're thankful that we can be here this evening. We're thankful for Your church. We're thankful for people who will come and who will assemble together. And we're able to receive some exhortation and some encouragement from one another. We're able to sing songs. We have something to sing about. We have a hope that is in our Lord Jesus Christ that's going to find its fulfillment in heaven and where we'll meet You, Lord Jesus, one of these days. And we're looking forward to that. God, I pray that You'd help us as we look into Your Word, as we look at Your words. We pray that You'd help us and enlighten our eyes and help us to see some things that are necessary and needful that would strengthen us, and we'd be rooted and established in the faith, and we'd be fed this evening from Your word, and we'll thank You for it. We love You and pray and ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. 1 John chapter 5, we'll read verses 11 to 13. And John has just gotten done talking about the witnesses that we have. John wants us to know that we have eternal life, that the things are true that he's been saying, and we have a heavenly witness, we have an internal witness, and so John wants us to know these things, and he's going to say that in these verses right here, verses 11 to 13. He says, "And this is the record that God hath given to us eternal life, and this life is in His Son. He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. Now these things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God." John says that he has written these things so that we may know and that we may believe. We can have assurance of salvation. Salvation is not something that is elusive, or assurance of salvation is not something that is elusive, that we can't know. There's a lot of religions that teach that. They teach that, well, you really can't know whether you're saved or not, and you have to wait until you die, and then you'll find out after you pass this life whether you're saved or not. But the Bible clearly teaches us that we can know that we are saved. And John is fighting back here against false teachers that are trying to change the mind of these people that he's writing to here. And he says, "I want you to know that you are saved, that you have eternal life." And we're going to look this evening at this idea of eternal life, this doctrine of eternal life, and what John means by eternal life and how that we can know. We're going to turn it upside down and just look at it and look at it from all different kinds of angles and just find out what John is saying here from 1 John 5, verses 11 to 13. But before we get into that, I would just like to, by way of introduction, there was a study that was conducted to prove something. Now, they conducted this study, and they found out that watching a certain television show or watching certain violent acts on TV would lead to disillusionment on behalf of those who are watching this program. The study was done about this show called Friends. I don't know if everyone here has probably watched Friends. I don't know. I never was a big fan of it. But the study would show that those who watched the TV show Friends, they had never been to New York City. That's where Friends is set at. Friends is set in New York City. Those people that had never been to New York City, but they were big fans of this TV show Friends, were sorely mistaken about life in New York City. Because the show portrays a bunch of friends that live together in Manhattan. Manhattan's one of the most expensive places you can live, probably. I don't know, but it is, you know, one of those uptown kind of places in New York City. But the show is about a bunch of friends who live in New York City in Manhattan, and they're all working these little menial jobs, working at coffee shops and making minimum wage, and you know, but they have this big apartment. It's got a lot of square footage. They're all living together. And all everyone who watches the show, not everyone, but a lot of people, what they found in this study was those who watched the show came away with the impression that I'd like to move to Manhattan. And I'd like to get me a big apartment over there with a bunch of friends and work at a coffee shop. And I believe that I could probably make that. I could probably swing that. And so they were disillusioned. There's another study that was done. People who watch a lot of violence on TV come away with the impression that there's a lot of violence in their neighborhood. And they're just afraid that violence is all around them because they're constantly consuming violence all the time on television. Well, the reason for the disillusionment of these viewers is because they had only watched the television show, and the television show was not portraying the real thing. It's kind of like a caricature of what the real life was like in New York City, and they had never really experienced it. These people had not gone out and measured the violence that is actually in their community. These people had not gone to New York City, priced apartments, seen how much you can make at a coffee shop, these large square footage apartments. They did not know anything about that, and they were there was a misconception on their part. Now they knew something and they believed something, but it was not the truth. It was a disillusionment on their part. They only had second-hand information. And the truth is, you cannot afford a large apartment with a bunch of friends working at a coffee shop in Manhattan. You can't. I think that the average rent for a large apartment in Manhattan is around $3,000, $4,000 a month. Now, I can't make that on my little salary that I make. I'd have to get about five jobs, and then maybe I could make it. But John is writing to Christians who have hit disillusionment right in their face. And this is only a few years after the cross. This is the early days of Christianity, and already there is people coming in, and they are corrupting the Word of God, and they are corrupting the gospel of the grace of God. And John is writing to correct that because he does not want a lie to be perpetrated and for people to believe it and become misconceived. Yeah, they're going to believe something, but it's not going to be the truth. It's going to be a lie, and he doesn't want them to believe a lie. And so they have been given this picture of what Jesus Christ is like. They have been given this picture of the gospel. And that Jesus Christ is really not deity, and he's really not who he said he was. And this gospel is something else, and the Christian life is something else. They've been taught that you can live a certain way as a Christian, and you just can't. You can't just make up your own rules in the Christian life and say, well, this is the way that I'm going to do it. And so his whole letter has been trying to draw a line between what is false and what is true, what is real and what is false, between true believers and false professors. That's been the whole crux of John's letter in 1 John. And John is summing up his statements here, and he's saying, I want you to know. And I want you to believe the truth, and we can know. I don't want you to just believe some caricature that someone is putting in front of your face and saying, this is the truth, because that's not the truth. I want you to believe the truth. Now, if you and I are not careful in our day, in our society, we can believe a lie as well, because there's all kinds of different theories and all kinds of different doctrines out there about Christianity and about who Jesus Christ is, and we can come away believing, well, this is Christianity. This is who Jesus Christ is. And we will go away believing a lie. But he's talking about eternal life here. And the words son and life are mentioned five times in these three verses alone. And so those things are significant in these verses. Life in Christ or life in the Son. And John places everyone in humanity in either one of two categories. Either you have the Son or you don't have the Son. Either you have Jesus Christ as your Savior, or you don't have Jesus Christ as your Savior. Either you have life or you don't have life. It's one of the two. You can't be in between, well, I might have life, I might not. No, it's either one of the two. And the Bible is good about that, drawing lines and saying, well, this or that, one or the other. But like Joshua said, choose you this day whom you will serve. Go serve the God of the Amorites if that's who you want to serve. But as for me and my house, we are going to serve the Lord. And so it's real life. It's eternal life. And it is found in Jesus Christ. It is something that is tangible that you and I can see and we can know. It's not something that is mysterious that we can't know about. No, we can know this life. And so let us examine the life that is found in the Son. First off, the thing that I notice is that this life is given to us. It is a gift that is given to us. It is not something that can be worked for. You find in verse number 11, it says, and this is the record that God hath given to us eternal life. God gave us something, and I want you to notice the word God. God is the source of this eternal life. I've told you this over and over and over again, but when John talks about eternal life, the first thing that he mentions is G-O-D, God. He doesn't say, well, now you. No, he says, now God. God hath given to us eternal life. Thank God that eternal life is a free gift. Because if it was up to me, I would have lost it a long time ago, or I never would have gotten it. But thank God that it is a free gift. It doesn't start with you and I. It doesn't start with who you are. It doesn't start with your character. It doesn't start with who you are as a person. No, it starts with God, not our actions. And he says that God hath given. Hath given. That means that God has given it to us. He has granted us to us. And that was sometime, the people that John is talking to, sometime in the past. There is a time in the past where God gave you this eternal life and you came in contact with it. And you became a Christian. God hath given to us eternal life. And this life is in Christ. I want you to know that here this evening. It is not in any other place. It is not in some other locality. No, it is in Christ. It is not in the church. It is in Christ. And it cannot be earned. It cannot be worked for. It cannot be any of those things. It must be given to us in Christ. And John says God has given it to you. You go through the book of 1 John and you find out what God has given to us. 1 John chapter 3, verse 24, the Bible, or John says that God hath given to us his Holy Spirit. That's the life. It is the third person of the Trinity that comes and lives on the inside of you. And boy, he does a work on the inside of us. Something that is supernatural. We find in chapter 4 and verse number 13 that he has given to us his Spirit. Chapter 5 and verse number 20, the Bible says that he has given to us an understanding. God is a giving God. God is a generous God. God is a loving God. God is a kind God. He's a gracious God, and he's given to us eternal life. Why must this eternal life be given to us? I mean, can't we earn it? Is there something that we could do? Is there a way that we can be good enough in order to gain this eternal life? Is there something that we can do? No, there's not. There is no way that either any of us could acquire this eternal life. It has to be given to us, and it is given to us outside of ourselves. It is given to us in Christ. It comes from no other place. It is outside of our reach. What separates us? What's the gulf that separates us from this eternal life? What is it? Sin. Sin. Something as simple as sin. That's what separates us from this eternal life. There's no way that you and I could reach it, and so this life must be granted to us based solely upon the merits of someone else. And that someone else is Jesus Christ. This life is based upon Christ. It comes through Christ, and it is given to us in Christ. There's no other way that we could get it. Why? Our relationship to Adam. You see, whenever Adam sinned, all of his guilt and all of his sin was transferred to his posterity. And when Adam sinned and he fell, everybody that came after Adam, they fell too. His son goes all the way down generation after generation. Search the history books. You're not going to find one person in any of those history books that never sinned. They all fell. They were all corrupt. They were all sinners, every one of them. The Bible says, there is none righteous, no, not one. That includes me, and that includes you, and that includes everybody that you know, and everyone that ever came before you. We all fell because of the first Adam. That's why. And there's no way that we could ever reach that eternal life. There's no way that we could ever grasp it. You know what had to happen? Another Adam had to come. Another Adam. He's called the second Adam. And he didn't mess up where the first Adam messed up. He didn't sin where the first Adam sinned. He didn't fall where the first Adam fell. He passed the test, and he went all the way, and he gained salvation for you and for I. And when Jesus died, we died. Whenever we accepted His Son, Jesus Christ, and all of His righteousness was transferred to you and to I. And then all of our guilt was transferred to that second Adam. And as Jesus Christ was hanging on the cross and He was suffering in my place and in your place, and He was bearing our sins on that tree. And so therefore we can be righteous. And you know what? You got a hold of it. You got a hold of that righteousness. You got a hold of that salvation. And that life must be given to us. It is a promise. That's what eternal life is. It's not some kind of mysterious thing that you don't know about. It's a promise. I'll give it to you. Free and clear. Do you take a hold of the promise this evening? You grab a hold of that promise. There's a woman that was laying on her deathbed. She was a member of the congregation of John Brown from Haddington, Scotland. This minister came in and talked to this lady. And he said to her, he said, what would you say if after all that God has done for you, He finally just goes ahead and lets you perish? What would you do? And she said, He's got a lot more to lose than I do. Because if He lets me perish, He's a liar. He hasn't kept His word. Because the Bible says that He gives unto His sheep eternal life and they shall never perish. And if He lets me perish, He will lose His word and He will be found to be a liar. And eternal life is rooted in the promise to you and I today. And all we must do is grasp a hold of the promise and take it for ourselves. The Bible says in John 3:16, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Now either God's going to keep His promise or He's a liar, one of the two. But eternal life is found in a promise. And we have a God who cannot lie. and he's given it to us free and clear. So either we're going to believe the promise or we're going to call God a liar and say, hey, I don't believe what you're saying. My God's not a liar. He's given us eternal life. We find in 1 John chapter 2 and verse number 25, and this is the promise that he hath promised us, even eternal life. Now, either you have the life or you don't have the life, one of the two. But it can't be both. And this life is given to us through the grace and mercy of Jesus Christ. It's not something that is owed. It's something that must be received here this evening. Eternal life is given to us. That's the first thing that I noticed. The next thing that I noticed is that it's a present possession. It's not something that you're waiting for. It's something that you have right now. It is a life that must be possessed. We find that in verse number 12. He that hath the Son hath life. Hath life. And he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. And John describes this life as being found in the Son. It is found in Christ and Christ alone. John started out his letter, verses 1 and 2. He says, that which was from the beginning, that which we have seen, that's that which we have looked upon and our hands have handled of the word of life. Either you have the Son or you don't have the Son. It is found in Jesus Christ. Do you have the Son this evening? What's he mean by has the Son? Anyway. Now, it doesn't mean that we have a hold of the physical body of Jesus Christ, because we know that Jesus Christ has already gone up to heaven. He's already ascended to heaven. And he's not, the physical body of Jesus is not dwelling on the inside of it. It's not a physical union that we have with Jesus Christ. No, it is a spiritual union that you and I have with Jesus Christ. And that union is consummated by faith. We are united to Christ by faith. He dwells in our hearts by faith. Spiritual union. The Holy Spirit indwelling each and every one of us. Paul the Apostle said in Ephesians 3:17 that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith. Faith. We must believe the Lord. We must believe what God has said about His Son. Accepting Him by faith. We have the Son. We have Christ. We have Christ. Now, if we have Christ, what does that mean? Can we know about those things? What do we mean? Well, we'd have to go back to what John has been talking about, what John has been saying about Jesus Christ. That means if we have the Son, we have Jesus Christ as our advocate. If we have Jesus Christ as the Son, that means that we have Jesus Christ as the propitiation for our sins. We have Him as the sacrifice for our sins. That's what he means when he says that we have the Son. If we have the Son, then we have fellowship with Jesus Christ and with His church. If we have the Son, then we know Jesus Christ in an intimate way and we acknowledge Jesus Christ. That's having the Son. If we have Jesus Christ, that means that we abide in Jesus Christ. If we have the Son, then we obey His commandments. If we have the Son, then we have the Holy Spirit indwelling us. He that hath the Son hath life. Do you have the Son? Then you have life. Now, what about this life? What about this life? Can we know it? Is it tangible? Can we see it? Can we understand it? Can we look? What's the nature of it? What is the nature of eternal life? Now, when I say nature, that means what constitutes it? Can we look at the parts of it? You ever dissect a frog? I never did. I don't want to. But when you dissect a frog, you open it up and say, I wonder what this is. Look at all the different parts. Can we do that to eternal life? Can we look at what John has said about the certain quality, the character, the path, and the destination of this eternal life that John has been talking about? John has been speaking about eternal life all the way throughout the entire book of 1 John. He says in the first chapter, he says, if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with his Son. The life that he's speaking about is walking in the light. It is a life of obedience to God. It is a life that loves the brethren. That's eternal life. It is a life that does not love the world. It is a life that is discerning of truth. It is a life that overcomes the world, the flesh, and the devil. It is a life that has its end and destination for being like Christ and meeting Jesus Christ in heaven one of these days. That's the life that he's been talking about. And if we have the Son, then we have life. We have that life. We have eternal life. We will receive glory one of these days. Praise God for his eternal life that he's given to us. If we have life, we have all of these things. It's not a life that we're waiting to receive. It is a life that has been imparted to us today. By the Spirit of God, we have life. It is a life that grows us and matures us each and every day. It is a life that affects our present life today. That's eternal life. When Jesus Christ spoke about eternal life in John chapter number 17, he says that eternal life is to know God. To know God. This is life eternal, that they might know thee. Eternal life. It's a life that directs our steps. Can we be assured of this life? Can we know that we have it? I believe that we can. I believe that we can. John says in the next verses, he says that we can know. He says, I have written these things to you that you may know that you have eternal life. Life in Christ is not something that God wants us to wonder about. Life in Christ is not something that God doesn't want us to be assured about. Life in Christ is a life that we can know. We can know. He says in verse number 13, these things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye might know that ye have eternal life. And that you might believe on the name of the Son of God. When John says these things, he's talking about the book that he's just written, the letter that he has just written to these believers. He says, I have been writing these things to you so that you might know that you have eternal life. He wrote the letter to these people so that they might know that they have eternal life. And we are here in 2020 and we can now read it and find out, yes, so that we can know that we have eternal life and so that they can believe. God wants us to believe. He wants us to believe what he said. Not just be religious, not just come to church, but believe what he said. That's what God wants. I want you to believe. Remember the cultural climate of John's day. Cultural onslaught of Gnosticism. Oh, Jesus Christ is really not the Son of God. Oh, he is really not deity. This is really not the gospel. And so John is writing, he says, there is Antichrist creeping up into your assemblies and they're going to turn you away from the faith, and I want you to know. I don't want your faith to be shaken in Jesus Christ and what God has said about Jesus Christ, because there's false teachers and they are distorting the gospel of Jesus Christ. And John probably knew some of his readers and some of his audience are starting to wane. Starting to fall away from the faith or not believing anymore. John says, hey, I'm going to write a letter. I'm going to refute some of this stuff. I want you to know about Jesus Christ. I don't want you to doubt your salvation. I don't want you to be led astray by false teachers. And so he writes to them and he wants to shore up and strengthen their faith. He strengthens their faith in a couple of ways. As he writes the letter, he wants to give them assurance, and the first way that he does it is a theological assurance. Theological assurance. Now, Christians have to believe something. We can't just be happy-go-lucky and just do whatever we want or believe whatever we want. No, we believe certain doctrines from the Bible. We must believe those things. They're not optional. And John gives them theological assurance about being what a true Christian believes. There's a lot of people that say they're Christians, but they just don't believe what Christian doctrine is. I'm sorry. You got to go by certain things within the Scriptures to be a Christian. And John gives them theological assurance, and that's what he tells them in this book, and then he gives them practical assurance. This is how a Christian is supposed to behave. And this is what he has been writing about all through the book of John. This is what Christians do, and he brings it down to the core doctrine of Christianity, the core practical doctrine of Christianity, which is what? Love. Love. Remember all the messages that we've had about love? Those are practical assurances that he's given his readers. What does the Christian life look like? How do you know? I'm writing to you, and I'm telling you these things so that you can know and so that you can believe. And today is no different. We face an onslaught of false teachers in our society today. There is a worldwide attack upon Christianity. There always has been, but there is a worldwide attack on Christianity today to try and shake our faith in the Bible and in Christianity and in Jesus Christ. It's no different. And false teachers attack Christianity on a theological and a practical level each and every day, trying to distort who Christ is, trying to distort the gospel, trying to distort what a real Christian should live like. They say you can live however you want to live. All kinds of stuff are being accepted today in Christianity. Stuff that no one would ever have thought of 30 or 40 years ago now is being celebrated inside of a Christian church. And you know what the problem is? They left the Bible. They left the Bible. And they started reinterpreting the Bible so that they can have their sin and have Jesus too. They want both. But as we've seen, John says you can't have both. One or the other. Choose you this day whom you will serve. You can't have your sin and have Jesus Christ too. And the truth is being distorted. We live in the age of the internet. I'm not against technology. I'm not against information. I'm not preaching against it. But you can go on the internet and find out whatever you want about anything. I mean, if you want to be somebody or something else besides a Christian, well, I'll just find out something on the internet. I'll get on there and type it up and I'll just find out. And people read all kinds of stuff and it shakes their faith. Shakes their faith. They end up leaving the faith. Leaving Christianity. There's all different kinds of views about who Jesus Christ is, what he's done, conduct, behavior, all of those things. But God does not desire for us to be unsure about our faith in Jesus Christ. We can have full assurance. Can I tell you today? God's the same God that he was before the internet came around. Amen. Jesus Christ is the same Jesus that it was before the internet came around. Christianity is just as real today before the internet came around. And we have something that we can judge things by, whereby we can know and we can believe. And John said, I'm writing these things to you so you can know. Do you know what we judge our doctrine by and what we judge our lives by? We judge it by the book. We judge it by the book. We don't have any other place to go. I'm not going to go by my feelings. I'm not going to go by my preferences or my opinions. No, I must go by what God has said. John wrote a letter and God has given us his word to assure us of our salvation so that we can know some certain things. You want to know for sure whether you're saved or not and how to be saved? Get in the book. Get in the word. And there you will find it. You're not going to find it by meditating. By emptying your mind and saying, well, I'll find it somehow, some other way. I'll be a Buddhist or I'll be a Hindu and I'll just do all. No, get in the book. Get in the book. Get in Scripture. Scripture tells us how to be saved. The Bible tells us in Romans chapter 15, verse number 4, for whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, so that we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope. What happens many times, we just don't get in the book. We don't read. They lose their assurance of salvation. Quit coming to church. Quit hearing preaching. Start reading some other kind of literature that goes against Christianity. And then wonder, well, I wonder what happened to my faith. You left the book. You quit reading the scriptures. And why did you stop reading the scriptures? Why did you quit reading the book? Well, I would say that that's a heart issue. I don't want to believe God. You know, God really kind of cramps my style. So, I don't want to be a Christian anymore. They just leave it. They want to live their life their own way. They don't like authority. So they want to do things their own way. And that's been going on ever since the Garden of Eden. God told Eve some commandments. And then there came up an alternative commandment from Satan. Yea, hath God said, did God really say that? Wouldn't you like to be your own boss? Wouldn't you like to govern your own life? Instead of being under this mean God here? Well, maybe. And then she damned the entire human race because she just decided that she wasn't going to listen to God anymore. We can know. So life is a gift to be received. It is a life to be lived. And it is one where we can find assurance. And the danger here is not having assurance. Not having assurance. People lose their assurance all the time. They quit reading, they quit meditating, they quit serving God. Just leave the church. Quit doing things for God. And that is a surefire way to lose assurance and not know whether you're saved or not anymore. And the person might be saved. They need to come back. They need to come back. They need to start reading the scriptures. They need to start getting some preaching. That's what they need. That's the danger. But life is about Jesus Christ. It is found in Jesus Christ. It is about living in Jesus Christ. It is about living under the rule of Jesus Christ as our master. And so, therefore, you and I must obey Jesus Christ. We must obey Him. We don't have a choice as Christians. We must obey Him. And we must obey the Word of God. Now, like we've heard before, Jesus Christ is not down here on the earth, walking around preaching to us and giving us the Sermon on the Mount again or whatever that might be, or a sermon for today. He just doesn't do that. For one thing, He's given us His Spirit. He's given us His Holy Spirit. You know what the Holy Spirit does? The Holy Spirit's going to point us to something. It's going to convict us of something. For one thing, it's going to point us to the Scriptures. It's not going to point us to another book. It's not going to point us to anything else. No, it's going to point us to the Scriptures, and then it's going to convict us of our sin. It's going to point us to the church. That's where the Holy Spirit's going to point us to. And then as we open up the Word of God, He's going to illuminate our minds, and He's going to show us what He wants us to do. That's what He's left for us. And so can we know? Yes, we can. Get into the Word of God. Come to His church. And then let us obey God in everything. And there you will find perfect assurance. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank You, Lord, for Your blessings upon us. Lord, I pray that You'd help us in the days to come. Lord, I pray that You'd help us to have assurance of our salvation. Lord, I pray that we'd serve You. We'd obey what Your Word has to say. That You'd lead us and guide us and direct us. Lord, forgive us where we fail You, where we don't do what we ought to do. Lord, we become rebellious. We become just cold-hearted. Father, I pray that You'd forgive us. God, help us to serve You with all of our might, all of our heart, all of our soul, all of our strength. Well, thank You for it, Lord. You love You and pray and ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.